This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Morning, everyone. We're going to get started with the Senate Transportation Committee. I would like to remind everybody to please take a seat, have your phones turned to silent. If you haven't already, you're off. If you plan to testify today, make sure you have signed in the back of the room. Be sure if you have any handouts, you've distributed them through the pages who are very helpful at the ends of the room. At this time, I'd like the secretary to call the roll.
Senators Castleberry?
Here.
Foster?
Here.
Monroe?
Here.
Russell is excused. Soholt is excused. Blair?
Here.
Otten?
Here.
There is a quorum.
Okay, we have a quorum. This time, we'd like to have the pages come up to the mic. Tell us your name, where you're from, and your future plans.
My name is Hattie Schaefer. I'm from Pierre, and next year I'm going to SDSU to study human biology.
My name is Abraham Shalos. I come from Elk Mountain School, the Edgemont area, and I plan to get a reciprocal agreement with the University of Wyoming and major in psychology.
Pages are getting more professional every day. They're pulling the mic down and stepping up. Appreciate that. Thank you. For announcements, we are going to change the order in which we're hearing the bills today. So the only change will be 1082 will be moved to the top. Then it'll be 1059 and 1091. This time, we'll get consideration of the bills. Good. That, didn't we? Oh, I didn't.
No.
I didn't. Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes? Is there a second? Any discussions on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Thank you. Now we'll move to House Bill 1089. I'll take proponent testimony at this time.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Lee Schoenbeck, Senator from District 5. I'm here on behalf of House Bill 1082. I never get any cool bills that have names, so I'm calling this one Shorty's Bill. It came to the House 68-0, so I understand this isn't probably an earth-shaking piece of legislation, but my baby brother, Shorty, asked us to introduce this bill, and he's listening. He doesn't know anything about politics. I had to tell him what button to push on so he could hear this. But Shorty is the successful one. The family has a car dealership in Webster, our hometown, and he also has, in my old law office building, a classic car. He sells them. I mean, and I'm no motorhead. I can't tell you what all these cars are, but I can tell you this. If you're my age and you walk in there and see those 1950s and 60s classics, you're going to remember all your best dates growing up. these are big-time classic cars. Anyway, so he takes them to Watertown to a big boy toy show, and because he's a good marketer, he puts it on Facebook that he's going to have these classic cars there, and apparently the vehicle inspectors read Facebook, and you can't take your cars and show them these classics out of the county where you get them. The license comes from the state, but it's only licensed to display it in the county where you are. So the dealer came to the big boy toy show and saw the classics my brother had promoted that he had there, and told him, you can't have those. He said, well, this license comes from the state. Yeah, but you can only show them in the county where your dealership is. And my brother said, that's a stupid law. First he said, who did that? He said, that's the law. My brother said, that's a stupid law. And then I got a phone call because Shorty has my number. And Myron got a phone call because he's got Myron's number too. And so thus, this bill from the auto dealers comes, which if you look at it, the vehicle's got to be 20 model years or older, and then you can take your vehicle and for up to, not to exceed 15 days, display it outside of the county where your license is. And so that's Shorty's bill. And he's not short. He's a big guy. He's like a state champion wrestler. But thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other proponents for HB 1082.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Myron Rao, President and Registered Lobbyist for the South Dakota Auto Dealers Association. And that call, Senator Schoenbeck didn't tell you, came at the end of last session, too late to submit a bill. So we've been putting up with this for a year, and he is listening, and he was listening. And we did get an ugly phone call. I just want to explain why we do what we do. And I wasn't part of this organization when the law was passed that restricted dealers to display only in their county where that they've got the brick and mortar. But I've embraced the idea, and so have the dealers. Whenever they ask, why is this law? It's a state law, and I get calls a lot. Why can't I do this? I use the example of Graham Auto in Sioux Falls. They're the only Audi dealer, the only Volvo dealer in the state. Do you want them selling at the Pier Mall? Do you want them selling at the Rushmore Mall in Rapid City? That answer is no, quickly, from the dealers. So that's why it exists. We've always promoted buying local, and that's why that law, I think that's why it was passed in the first place. I don't know that history, but that's how we've embraced it for the last 19, 20 years that I've been here. So that's the reason for it. This is just making a small crack in the system. If they're over 20 years old, you know, you don't see them around. It's not competition. We don't think this is a leak in the boat, so to speak. It's been embraced by DMV with the caveat that we only do 15 days. They wanted a number of days. I chose the 15 just because. I talked to Senator's brother, and he agreed that that's plenty of time. And also we have to notify the agency when we're doing this. So that those two things are in the bill. And so, again, we would just appreciate if you pass the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents for the bill? Any further proponents? See none. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1082? Any opponents? See none. We'll just dispense with rebuttal, if that's okay with the Senator. We will. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, is there action to be taken or comments? Senator Monroe? Oh, Senator Russell? Okay.
Second.
Moved by Senator Russell to pass, seconded by Senator Soholt. Is there any discussion on the bill?
I think it's a great idea. Is it Dave Heller? Which Haler? Is that his operation? Yeah, I've seen some of those cars online. He's got beautiful stuff. So, no, we need to encourage people to be showing off these magnificent-looking vehicles. So, good bill. Look forward to making it more available.
Any other discussion? Yep. So, Senator Otten?
Just one comment for Shorty. Your brother really is a great guy.
I guess the chair has discretion, and that is that not only is Shorty listening, it sounds like the committee's listening, too. So with that, we'll move on to roll call or the voting on the bill by the members.
Senators Castleberry?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Blair?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
Okay, the vote is unanimous. The bill is passed. The chair has certified that bill number 1082, having no opposition, will now go on to the consent calendar. Thank you. We'll now move on to House Bill 1059, revise certain provisions regarding hunting with drones. Are there any proponents for that bill?
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
And committee.
So House Bill 1059 is kind of came up as part of the cleanup bill of Title 50 that you get fellows and ladies accepted about a week ago.
Could I have you introduce yourself, please?
State Representative David Johnson, District 33. South Dakota Codified Law 418-39 was written last year, where the representative who wrote up the bill wanted to be able to use drones for spotting predators on its property. And in writing up the bill, there were some conditions that they felt was important to put into the bill, very simply. In the first section, part two, the activity for spotting predators or varmints has to occur over private land. The person operating the drone is either the landowner or has permission, and the activity does not occur during hunting months. When I was reading through Title 50, I noticed that this is a little bit elusive, because what it does is it makes a drone operator feel like if they're meeting these conditions, that they're within compliance of the law. So I felt it was important to make sure that any drone operator who does go out and operate a drone, they still have to be in compliance with federal aviation regulations when doing so. That's all that is. The second part was part of the cleanup bill of Title 50, and that is that the Federal Aviation Administration, we went through it all and we put capital letters on the FAA, and they are not requirements. They are federal regulations. That's the extent of the bill. So I would ask for your support.
Are there any other proponents for House Bill 1059? Any other proponents? If not, moving on to opponents. Are there any opponents to House Bill 1059? Any opponents? Seeing none, we'll move on to questions. Senator Monroe.
Thank you. Come on.
Sir? Yeah, welcome to the committee. I feel like an idiot asking you an airplane question because you're like 400 levels above the average person.
Thank you.
With the amendment that you have to the bill, can you just explain to the committee a little bit? I don't understand what a drone that would be in full compliance with FAA rules is comprised of. So if you go to Walmart, get a El Cheapo drone with a camera on it, is that automatically, before they can manufacture whatever, that is that FAA approved, or do you go buy a $4,000 drone from a drone company in California somewhere to make it FAA approved, that type of thing? Go ahead. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You'd like to introduce yourself again?
Mr. Chair, David Johnson, State Representative, District 33, Rapid City. So the FAA essentially has jurisdiction over all airspace over the United States. It's been that way since the FAA came around. And what we're trying to do, the FAA and drones are fairly new, but we're trying to safely integrate drones into the national airspace system. That's why the FAA has come up with their rules, FAA Part 107 and Part 101, to integrate drones into airspace. Now, every single drone sold that is 250 grams or more must be registered with the Federal Aviation Administration. And whether it's private property or public property, the minute the drone is launched into airspace, it comes under the jurisdiction of the rules of the Federal Aviation Administration. So if a drone weighs 0.55 pounds or more, it must be registered And if it weighs 55 pounds or more, then it must be registered as an aircraft with the full N number. Does that respond to your question, sir?
Yeah, that was a pretty good job, Johnson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be working on that.
You were issued a book earlier this year. Someone wrote a book on drones and left it on your desk.
Are there any further questions? If not, I'll open it up to the committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Monroe.
I would move due pass on House Bill 1059.
Motion's been made to do pass House Bill 1059. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Foster. Is there any discussion? Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was kind of hoping it'd be a bill that allowed machine guns on these drones to go after coyotes on private land or something like that, but it's good enough for me for now. So thank you.
Is there any other discussion? So the motion is made and seconded to do pass House Bill 1059. Those in favor will be voted on, and so the Secretary will call memberships for a vote.
Senators Castleberry?
Aye.
Foster? Monroe?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Blair?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
House Bill 1059 will now go to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. The chair certifies that bill number HB 1059, having no opposition, will now go to the consent calendar. Thank you, Representative. At this time, we'll move on to House Bill 1091, revised provisions regarding the compensation of merchandise dealers for diagnostic and warranty work. We'd hear from proponents of the bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Jack Kobeck, District 13, Sioux Falls. I'm here today to introduce House Bill 1091 to this committee, and thank you for inviting us to this room. Members of the House Transportation this morning, House Bill 1091, I would like to ask for your consideration. Chapter 37 5 is a part of state law that covers a wide variety of merchandise. The list of coverage applies to a wide variety of equipment. However, this bill only addresses a couple of pieces of equipment, which are auxiliary power units and refrigeration units on trucks and trailers. A couple of South Dakota businesses recently voiced a concern regarding warranty claims, diagnostic time, reimbursements for parts, and compensation for these claims. A fix of these claims is what is proposed in this bill, House Bill 1091. I hope you will all agree that this is an important issue and needs to be corrected. I respectfully ask that you vote favorably for this bill today. And at this time, I would like to ask Myron Rao, who is an employee and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Automobile Dealers Association and the South Dakota Trucking Association. He will further discuss this problem and give you more information on House Bill 1091, and I thank you, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator. And I hope his good friend, another proponent, will speak to the bill. Any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Myron Rao, President, Registered Lobbyist for both the South Dakota Auto Dealers Association and Trucking Association. And, Mr. Chair, would you mind if I testified on behalf of both at the same time? Okay. This kind of doesn't happen very often where you have two clients on the same page. But because auxiliary power units are the unit that's mounted on a semi-tractor or on a motorhome, so you can shut down the engine and still maintain cooler or heat, whatever you need. And then a refrigeration unit is, you see them on the front of semi-trailers and on a straight truck that hauls ice. they just keep the unit at a certain temperature. And these are highly technical pieces of equipment today. A cooling unit costs about $11,000, an APU, I should say. The refrigeration unit costs about $30,000. We have two franchisees in South Dakota. One is Carrier Transit Cold, and the other is Thermo King, both based in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. When you buy a new tractor and you want an APU installed, one of these guys is going to do it. They've got the franchise. They've got the rights to do it. So this is a big deal. And basically it comes down to this. Time is time. So today, and I'm just going to use Senator Otten and Senator Blair for an example. If they buy one of these pieces of equipment or have it mounted on their unit at the same date, same time, but one is off warranty and the other is still on warranty when they come in on the same day for repairs, the difference is you pay the door rate, what's called door rate, and all the dealers post a door rate, what they're going to charge for that you per hour for their backroom work. And I'm going to use $100 for an example. If Senator Otten's unit is still under warranty, they're going to get reimbursed at about 70% and 80% of the rate, where Senator Blair is going to have to pay the door rate. It's not fair. The same piece failed. The franchisee has no decision to make when it comes to how that unit's built or how they spec the parts with. So if they bought a bad part that was installed in your pickup truck, same thing happens. We do the warranty work for them, and we feel that time is time. If it takes 2 hours to do it, we should be compensated at the same rate as everybody else. So that's really what this does. It's really, again, nobody's resisted this bill to this point. North Dakota passed it last year. I was asked in the House how many states have done this. I have no idea. You know, I used the number 20, and then I was called back up and said, how do you know the 20? I said, I made that up. I don't know. It could be 2, it could be 5, it could be 100. I have no idea, but it's like I say, North Dakota did it last year with no resistance. And, again, we had nobody testify against it in the House. But if you really want to drill down and understand this better, and I can explain it also, you have to actually look at the statute that is referenced in this bill, and that's 37.5.12.2. That's what defined. That's where merchandise is defined, and it's got automobiles, trucks, motorcycles, whatever. That's number one, and then farm tractors. All of this stuff is covered somewhere else in law, but these two pieces of equipment were not, and I take the blame for that. I'm the one that put them in the law several years ago, APUs and reefers, because they had no warranty protection, and I just missed this, to be honest with you. So this really just brings it up to where they're at the same level as everyone else. The other question that came up in the House was, how can we make an out-of-state corporation pay our dealer something they don't want to pay? The answer is we can't. But this gives them a tool in the toolbox. They could send the law along with the warranty claim and perhaps get it. At this point, I only know of Harley-Davidson and Ford that actually pay door rate. I mean, and we've got it in our law for cars and pickups and trucks already, but they just always push back. And they're all getting closer to paying the same rate, but this is something we fight every day. So all this does is gives them a tool. It's not gonna fix it necessarily. And I'll stand by for questions.
Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents for House Bill 1091? If not, we'll move on to opponents. Are there any opponents? No opponents to House Bill 1091. We'll move on to committee questions. Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This would be for Mr. Rao. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I just want to be sure I understood. I think that you did, because I pulled up the statute to try to understand the bill. And you talk about that other list of everything, the boats, snowmobiles, all-terrain vehicles, the power equipment, attachments. They are all covered under another piece of law. Is that what you said for that entire list? Or is it just for automobiles, trucks, boats? I'm trying to understand, you know, picking and choosing a couple of off the list.
Mr. Chair, obviously, you know, you could say let's include everybody on the list and you give them double coverage. I can show you where it is in auto law and truck law and ATVs we added. Again, that's something that we've done since I've been here. But some of them, like I say, when it comes to office furniture, number six, it doesn't pertain. So, you know, so yes and no. Boats, there's no lobbyist for boats. They're not an organization in South Dakota. I've been trying to get them to join us. They don't have any franchise protection. They don't have warranty protection, to be honest with you. Going down the, you know, farm equipment, industrial and construction equipment, there are a couple of businesses in South Dakota that would like that added. They were going to add it to this bill, and I said it adds too much weight. Sorry, we'll do it next year. So that one is missing. But the rest of them, like I say, office furniture, I don't think matters. It doesn't. You don't have warranty protection. And then, like I say, the boats, that's and we've had that discussion. I mean, I'm with them, I get a call every once in a while. So those two are not.
I have a follow-up, but it would be the prime sponsor, but there may be other questions first.
Are there any other questions first? You know, I just have one, just so I understand. You know, the angst that I've always had is you buy a vehicle from somewhere, but it breaks down somewhere else. You have warranty work done, and they're not getting paid what they normally get paid to do that work. Is that the crux of this bill?
That'll help, and also diagnostic time. We always argue about it, especially today, all this electronic stuff and adaptive cruise control and everything you've got on these vehicles now. And I know we're crossing the bridge here and talking vehicles, but this equipment is just as technical. There's a lot of more computer work, and so it's they don't want to pay us for that time that it took to say this part is what's defective. So that's always an argument. But are they paying it? Like I say, I only know exclusively of Harley-Davidson and Ford's getting close, but some of them paying 60%. And same with parts. They just don't want to pay us for the part that they spec'd incorrectly.
Thank you. Senator Sohol, you have a
question for the prime sponsor, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, totally get why we want to do this in statute. I'm just wanting to go back to kind of the original question of not trying to correct the law in relationship to other areas that may need it as well, such as boats and personal watercraft. I mean, just to hear, well, they don't have a lobby, that doesn't make a lot of sense when we're just trying to course correct law. Did you have any discussion about that? And perhaps not you prime on this side, but maybe it's not the Genesis bill for you.
Mr. Chair, Jack Kovac, District 13. I'm not quite sure where the question, how to answer the question, but I think just a little clarification on what this bill is really, my perspective, okay? Let's just say I'm a trailer dealer, and I sell trailers all over wherever, and I sell a whole bunch of them to one particular entity, maybe Senator Soholt's Trucking Company. And all these trailers have got Thermo King power units on them. All right. Well, the dealer has sold these from wherever he may have sold them outside of the state. And they come into the state or wherever, and one of them breaks down. And they take them to the dealer, the Thermo King dealer, like in Sioux Falls or wherever it may be. And this Thermo King unit is still under warranty. Well, that dealer charges X number of dollars an hour, X number of dollars time for diagnostic test. But the warranty that is on that Thermo King unit, that company that sold it at that time will only pay a certain amount and not what the private company within the Sioux Falls or Rapid City would be charging his other customers like Senator Blair. So there's not equality here. In other words, the big company is saying to the independent company, I'm only going to pay you this month to fix a unit you did not even sell. And so that's kind of the gist of the whole thing. It's kind of bringing uniformity to it, and it's May. It's not a shall. It's a May in the bill. That they now they got the opportunity to go back and say, look, it costs $100 to fix this unit, and it's under warranty, but yet your warranty, you say you're only going to give me $50 for it. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't ask the question well. So I'm just, I get that part. And so what I'm wondering about is on this list of in statute 375-12-2, there's a list of 1 through 9. And Mr. Rao talked about a certain amount of them, like automobiles, trucks, motorcycles, farm tractors, they're covered in other statute in relationship to this issue that we're talking about. But there are also other things. So you're now adding in the temperature control unit and the auxiliary idle reduction and temperature management system or auxiliary power unit. So my question was, in cleaning up this lack of teeth, if you will, of being able to do exactly what you described, there are other things on this list that are not covered, such as, I mean, I don't know if they are or not, boats and personal watercraft, which could be very much the same issue that you just described. Or, you know, large outdoor power equipment. Now, some outdoor power equipment's small, but some is large, to your point. So I was just curious, in crafting this piece of legislation, picking out a couple instead of fixing the whole list that may need that same protection that you're talking about for 8 and 9. I don't know if I asked it any better this time.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator.
In all due respect to the question, can I turn that to Mr. Rao to try to explain that particular question that you asked me? Because I would not be able to answer that.
Okay. Thank you. Sure. That'd be great.
It'd be great. Again, Myron Rao, South Dakota Automobile Dealers Association and South Dakota Trucking Association. Thank you for the question. It's a tougher fight. When you talk about, we're going to have a lot of resistance, let's put it that way. If we do that, we talked about it. But that's why when I got the call about why don't we add this, I said that's a bill for another day because it's a different fight. And I'm talking about CAT's going to show up, John Deere's going to show up, and they're all going to show up. You know, that's why we picked this out, because we saw there wouldn't be any resistance to this. So I'm saying if you want to bring that, and they do have a lobbyist, and I don't make that excuse about boats, I would help them out because that's what I do. But they have to have the outcry, and I haven't had the outcry from the boat dealers. And it bothers me, because they should. Same with these guys. When they came to us about 5-6 years ago and said they had no franchise protection, we slipped them into the law. I think it was in 09. 9 or 10, they had no protection. So, you know, I don't know if that's answering the question, but we did get a call from the industrial equipment, but I said, we're going to have so many people, it's going to be a jobs bill for lobbyists is what it's going to be. And I wanted to fix what I didn't do right, and then we'll do that next year, the year after, and maybe next time we should fix it all at the same time and call all those people, you know, and I'm willing to do that, but this was the battle for today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rao. Any other questions? If not, we'll move on to discussion or action by the committee. Senator Russell moved to pass House Bill 1091. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Castleberry. Is there a discussion on the motion?
I just think this makes sense to extend the opportunity. I certainly understand the desire to get more coverage on this, but I also give due deference to the sponsors for what they need to get accomplished at this time. I just think that it's a move in the right direction. My last year, I was happy to get ATVs under a certain warranty provision and not have any opposition from Mr. Rao or anyone else, and that was great. But growing up around, my mother's father had the Chevy dealership in Edgemont before they shut down all the little guys, and those people do need some protection. So I think that it's a step in the right direction, and I look forward to us hopefully putting this on the consent calendar. Even.
Any other discussion? I appreciate Senator Soholt bringing up the, and your answer too, because that's a question that's going to come up, and so that we can, we go back to our communities, say intelligently, this is why this wasn't all included in this bill. If you want to include it, go to work and start drafting legislation. I know in my business, a lot of times we help service people that bring in, it's an offshoot, but they'll buy policy somewhere else from somebody who's traveling through, but then we got to help them service it at, you know, no compensation. And I hate, that's why I like to buy local as much as possible, which you alluded to, you encourage that also, because if I'm taking my vehicle back in to be serviced, I know they're not going to get compensated as they normally would. And this at least helps them, small businesses, helps them in their fight to correct that problem. I know it doesn't correct it, so thank you for bringing that. Any other discussion? If not, we'll move on to, is there a motion made? Okay. Motion was made to do pass House Bill 1091. All those in favor will say aye. Opposed, no. The secretary will call the roll.
Senators Castleberry?
Aye.
Foster?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Blair?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
The vote's unanimous.
Vote was unanimous. House Bill 1091 will now move on to the floor. The chair certifies that the bill, having no opposition, will go on the consent calendar. Seeing no other items on our agenda, is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Is there a second? Motion made by Senator Russell, seconded by Senator Soholt. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.